You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government released its consultation document on He Waka Eke Noa, the system of farm gate pricing that has been in the works for almost 3 years. However, not everyone is pleased with the government's announcement. Starting in 2025, farmers will start to pay a price for their methane emissions. Consultation will run until near the end of the year, with Cabinet expected to make final decisions in early 2023. I first spoke to Christine Rose, lead agriculture campaigner at Greenpeace Aotearoa, and started by asking her what she made of the government's decision. So what did you and the rest of Greenpeace make of the amendments to He Waka Eke Noa?
Well, unfortunately, the amendments don't go far enough and they really just build on the industry proposal. So there are a bit of tinkering around the edges, but really it's just what the industry has recommended, and that gives too much power to the industry. We know that self-regulation doesn't work, and the Clean Streams Accord that was a partnership with the dairy sector previously showed that that doesn't work. In fact, in that case, rivers got more polluted. So we're really wary about proposals that amount just to greenwash and give the impression that action's being taken, when in fact it doesn't shift the dial on the most important crises of our time.
The government says that their proposal should meet the Zero Carbon Act 2030 methane reduction target. What do you make of that claim? Do you believe it?
Well, it's based on modelling and hypothetical scenarios. So it's a really inefficient and unreliable way of achieving emissions reductions, especially compared with more direct regulation of the industry. For example, we'd like to see regulation of fertiliser and imported feed, which are driving intensification in the dairy sector. And dairy produces around a quarter of New Zealand's greenhouse gas emissions. So something that's much more direct and reliable, that doesn't pander and put power into the hands of the dairy industry, and that doesn't privilege the dairy sector the way this proposal does, would be much more appropriate.
Yeah, you say that these proposals would benefit intensive dairy while disadvantaging less polluting and typically Māori-owned farms. Could you just explain how we'd see this in practice?
Unfortunately, the pricing for... we've got questions about using a pricing tool on emissions rather than on inputs to start with. But unfortunately, this pricing tool does reward dairy farmers, intensive dairy farmers, because they cram more cows onto smaller paddocks. And so there's an argument that, you know, this makes them more efficient. It certainly makes them more efficient at polluting our climate, our waterways and our drinking water. So they get rewarded from this system rather than those farmers who have fewer stock numbers across a wider area of land. That's really unfair, and it rewards the worst polluters.
Cabinet did, however, decide not to let farmers price their own emissions. Is this a step in the right direction, or could it also be threatened by lobbying, or say, if the national government comes in next year, that they have complete jurisdiction over that?
Yeah, it's a marginal improvement, and it's a bit more greenwashing because, as you say, the industry and their very powerful lobbyists will continue to influence the price. And also because the whole structure of this model is something that's been put forward by the industry. So it's made in their interests, and while that they won't directly be making the decisions about the prices as they recommended, they'll still have an disproportionate influence on what that looks like. And you can guarantee that just the same way with the model itself, the pricing will also be constructed so that it makes it look like action's being taken, but it's not enough to move the dial. And, you know, you can assume that if the industry supports this stuff, then it's in their interest and it's not good enough. And we saw that with the original He Waka Eke Noa proposal. And even then, they're crying foul about this proposal, which is really their initiative, just with a few minor changes.
You're also accusing the government of greenwashing, specifically in reference to the processor levy-style agriculture emissions backup if targeted timeframes aren't met by 2025. Could you explain what you mean by greenwashing in this instance and how you would have liked to have seen this proposal approached?
Greenwashing is strategy used by governments and corporations to make it look like they're taking action on a pressing issue, an environmental issue, when in fact they're not really doing enough. And so this is classic greenwashing, because we've seen, you know, there's a lot of interest and hype about it, and the Prime Minister saying, you know, we're the first country in the world, when in fact countries overseas are taking much more direct action to reduce livestock numbers. So we are by no means the most effective or directive in terms of addressing industrial agriculture's environmental impacts. And this goes also to the processor levy backstop. So the government has this idea that if they can't get the methane emissions pricing regime up and running by 2025, that there's this processor backstop. But, you know, there's been slippage on a whole lot of other government processes where they've devised these complicated schemes instead of just direct regulation. And so it's very hard to have confidence that the proposals will be ready in time. And so they're also just not the most effective way of achieving change. So what they're proposing is greenwashing, and what we're proposing is that they just regulate the inputs directly, because there are just two fertiliser producers, importers and manufacturers in New Zealand, Ravensdown and Balance. That's a really skinny part of the process that's driving dairy intensification. And also synthetic nitrogen fertiliser is a significant generator of emissions in its own right. So instead of pricing at the end of the pipeline, we're saying have a sinking cap on synthetic nitrogen fertiliser and imported feed at that skinny source at the input level, and that would be much more efficient and much more transparent and fair, and would be more effective, because instead of trying to deal with calculating outcomes, we know we'd be dealing with the known facts, which is about the fertiliser that's imported and manufactured and then used on our farms.
Is there anything else that you would have liked to have seen implemented into the scheme that wasn't included? And do you think that there is the political will within our current climate to strengthen these aspects?
The scheme's a lemon, so we don't see much good in it. Obviously, there is an acknowledgement that climate change is real, and we're seeing that it will affect farming first and worst among others. So it does need to, you know, action needs to be taken, but it's unfortunate because it just doesn't go far enough. And, you know, greenwashing is the new climate denial. So we see all these delay tactics, and Hewaka Ekenoa has been a delay tactic, and this is another one, instead of actually addressing emissions production at source and in a timely manner. We've got no time to waste. Climate change is here, it's getting worse, and this fails to shift the dial on those worst polluters, which in particular intensive dairying, and instead it favours intensive dairying and disadvantages beef and sheep farmers. This is sort of shifting, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. I think that actually instead the government should have taken the lead and supported more plant-based regenerative organic farming, and we're seeing that around the world, that there are moves towards more plant-based and regenerative and organic farming, which works with nature instead of against it. And so a more responsible approach would have been, instead of like dithering around the edges and the margins, to be much more directive about direct regulation and supporting a transition away from this damaging animal-based farming that's polluting our rivers, contaminating our drinking water, and contributing so significantly to climate change in New Zealand.
That was Christine Rose from Greenpeace Aotearoa. News and Editorial Director Jessica Hopkins then spoke to Federated Farmers Climate Change spokesperson Andrew Hoggard, who says that the amendments to Hewaka Ekenoa are unacceptable.
We find the proposal quite unacceptable in terms of the outcomes that it's proposing will happen with regard to nearly 20% of our sheep and beef farms effectively disappearing, or 20% of the sort of sheep and beef production going, which I'm assuming will relate to 20% of the farms going, and 20% less profitability for those farmers. Our sheep and beef farmers are, some of the most carbon efficient in the world, and it's just going to rip the guts out of their communities. You'll see, particularly if there's a drop in livestock numbers in certain areas, the likes of meatworks and other agricultural sort of support businesses in those towns and communities will be badly affected, if not closed down, and, it'll just have a dramatic impact on those communities.
Speaking of those rural communities in particular, where are some places in Aotearoa where we could see the biggest impact for those communities?
So Wairoa on the east coast is a perfect example. We've already seen, quite a bit of foreign interest in buying up farms there and converting them to forests, or pine plantations, which is having an impact on their communities with less people. And so if you were to see more of a drive for this happening, then you're only going to reach a tipping point where suddenly the meatworks at Wairoa, they're not getting enough throughput to be productive and profitable, and so you've got the risk that they may close down. They're the biggest employer in Wairoa. Probably a lot of the other businesses in that town will be there to support them or the farmers. And so it would just have quite a dramatic, that's one example. Taumarunui, another strong sort of sheep and beef farming town, Paiatua, those sort of places is where you would see quite an impact.
Climate Minister James Shaw has told us that the plan was made in consultation with the sector. How was Federated Farmers involved in this discussion?
Yeah, so we're always part of this process from sort of back in 2019, and we had a member on the steering group and we were part of the discussions. I guess what's changed, a key thing that's changed from the proposal we put to government was the removal of sequestration or of quite a bit of the sequestration that farmers were going to get credited for, which has sort of amplified the impact on the sheep and beef sector, and also changes to the pricing principles. Previously in the document that we sort of signed up to, talked about the price, whoever's setting the price, they were to consider not only the trajectory towards targets, but also the economic impact, the availability of mitigations, what it might mean for emissions leakage. So that means where you've got production decrease in New Zealand and just ship offshore at a higher footprint. And the food security, if we're suddenly taxing a whole heap of our agricultural production, and the world, like it is right now, is in a bit of a food security crisis, is that the smart move to be doing? It would have flow-on effects into the price of food for people not only in New Zealand but all around the world. And so, all of that was supposed to be considered together in a holistic manner, and now it's just about meeting the targets at all costs, and the cost's going to be a number of rural communities.
According to a recent report from the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment, agriculture emissions are reportedly behind 2/3 of the global warming that New Zealand is responsible for. So how is Federated Farmers working to address this issue with farmers?
Yeah, look, the question what the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment came up with there is, I guess they're looking back very historically, so they're looking at, since humans landed in this country, what emissions have occurred, and how much of them are responsible for this or that from agriculture or from everything else in the country. And, I sort of instead look at, what does the Paris Accord say? It's about limiting additional warming. It's about let's not do any more to go past the 1.5 degree increase. And with methane, it's a short-lived gas. So if you're keeping it stable, then basically, you know, so the emissions each year are stable, then you're not actually adding any more concentration to the atmosphere. It's, you know, as one part goes up each year, one part drops out. And so if you're keeping that stable, then you're not really adding additional warming. And so New Zealand agriculture has been in our emissions have been stable from methane since 2006. And so our view is that we need to do that, you know, keep it stable, not increase. And then as opportunities come about, we can look to undo some of that past warming, which is, you know, quite a benefit. You know, we're not going to be able to do that for, you know, all the car travels both of us do today. But, you know, we can do that for methane if we're able to come up with some of these mitigations. And, you know, potentially in the next 10, 15 years, there will be some mitigations that become available. And so our view was the pricing mechanism was always supposed to be there to, and this is in the wording of the original document, was that it was there to incentivise the uptake of economically viable mitigations that lower global emissions. And at the moment, there aren't very many mitigations at all, and particularly for sheep and beef. And so, you know, our view was that any price needed to be balanced against that factor. And certainly, once mitigations are available, then you could use a pricing mechanism to sort of drive that uptake.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has said that this plan that they've put together will produce the best farmers in the world and the best farmers for the world. Do you believe it's possible to achieve both of these at the same time?
We're already there. New Zealand farmers have the lowest footprint. If you look at milk production, we're 20% lower per kg of milk solids in terms of the carbon footprint than the next best country out there. And in fact, in terms of the world average, we're three times lower than the world average. So I don't know the numbers for sheep and beef off the top of my head like I do for dairy, but it's a similar story. And, you know, so we're already damn bloody good. And that's the big concern is if we reduce production here in New Zealand, it's just going to be shipped offshore at a higher footprint, which just increases global emissions. You know, any plan that's going to see 20% of a sector disappear isn't about making better farmers, it's about making less farmers. And, you know, our attitude has got to be that we should have systems that encourage us to be better farmers or farm better, not less.
That was Federated Farmers Climate Change spokesperson Andrew Hoggard chatting to Jess about He Waka Eke Noa and the impacts it'd have on farmers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.